Hi, and welcome to the Ian's Health Podcast with me, Ian Entwistle. We have got a returning guest on the show today. We've got James Walker, the Renegade PT. He joins us again for a Q&A session. We've had some questions from listeners following the previous podcast, so James has come back to address those questions. I will warn you again, the language is more than colourful from James, and we do have a third voice that you may hear today, because James and I were responsible for a small child, my son Ethan, on this day, so you may hear his contribution here and there. Let's get straight into the interview and see what those questions are all about. Okay, so we welcome back today for the second time to the Ian's Health Podcast, James Walker.
Top tips!
AKA the Renegade PT. Right, James, thanks for being here.
Pleasure again.
So, by public demand, we've had lots of questions. We've got people interested in what you've got to say.
Like, who is Zamo?
Who is Zamo? Why should we remember Zamo?
Always remember Zamo.
Can a donkey swim?
Yes.
Right, so we've got a Q&A. We had some questions after the last podcast. Listenership went up to about two people. So I'm thinking, you know, we're going to get at least three or four after this.
Well, that's my mum and my dad.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we're reaching out. What do you reckon?
Reach out and touch faith.
Right, so you're going to do some more life coaching today, because we know you're a life coach.
I'm not a life coach.
No, sorry. So we do actually have some serious questions here, and there were some questions raised after the last podcast that we did. So we're going to do our best to answer those today.
I will do my best.
That's all we can ask.
That's all I can do.
That's all we can ask.
That's all I've got. I'll give you everything.
Top tips two.
Top tips.
The return.
Hashtag two.
Okay. Right, so check this out. First question. You said in your last one, you talked about getting a plan. We obviously talked about in the last podcast about sorting out someone's training, and one of the big things and the first things they should do is get a plan, so they're not floundering around with their exercise. What we're being asked is, there's so many plans out there, it can be quite confusing. So what's the best approach? Is there a particular plan you would recommend? If it's a female, should they be focusing on female websites where you've got specific programs for women? What's the deal?
I would say no. Men and women are pretty much the same. Everyone's pink on the inside. We're all pink on the inside. We're all made of the same stuff. Depending, obviously, on the goal. Like, if someone's wanting to do endurance sports for whatever reason, then they're not going to look at kind of building muscle as such. You know, you get good at what you do. So if you're looking to run a marathon, you're probably not going to train cycling. If you want to get good at running, you run. Weight training-wise, though, no. Everyone, kind of going back to the first podcast, everyone needs to do or wants to be aiming to do the basic lifts. You know, most of the women that you'll speak to will want to get more toned. If you wanted to get toned, then you do want to drop body fat and, you know, build some muscle, show some muscle. The leaner you are, or the more muscle you've got, then the easier it is to get leaner.
Yeah. So in other words, I think the majority of people we're talking about here will be less specific in terms of whether they're going to try and do a marathon or such like. It's going to be more about their composition and their appearance,
yeah,
and their general health. So effectively, what you're saying is there's no difference in what we would recommend for a man or a woman. Obviously, perhaps maybe the man might be able to, you'd like to think he'd be able to shift a bit more weight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think generally women will shy away from weights or what they class as heavy weights because they're afraid of getting too bulky. You know, weights won't make women bulky. Muffins will make women bulky.
even, you know, blueberry ones.
Even blueberry. Unless you just pick out the blueberries. But I mean, like I say, building muscle is very hard. You go into the gym, the majority of guys in there will be training for muscle growth, will be, you know, taking the supplements, creatine, protein, whatever else they might take, Celtec.
Hey, hang on a sec. The second time you mention it now, I'm thinking is there some kind of retainer you're on here for?
No.
Right, okay.
I don't actually mean Celtec. You know, and none of them explode overnight. And you got to think, like, a guy's probably got like 10 times the amount of testosterone as a woman. So no one ever woke up in the morning and went, oh, for fuck's sake, I've got too big.
No one did that.
No one ever did that.
Not too many muscles anyway.
No.
No, it doesn't happen by accident is what you're saying there, isn't it?
No, so, you know, you've got to work very hard. I mean, the good thing with kind of women weight training is, like a pissing contest or a dick measuring contest that men will do, whereas they won't do shitty reps, they won't do half reps.
I love that you're keeping it nice and clean for the families out there that are listening today. You know, you've excelled yourself. there goes my clean tag on iTunes. Thanks for that.
Anytime. Thanks for inviting me back. I'm feeling more and more comfortable around you.
This is what it is. Okay, sorry. So the women lift the weights. They're not going to get massive. I think probably in terms of the plan. So what we're saying, get a plan. They're saying, what plan should I do? So is there a particular plan? Can you go to a particular website and get a plan?
I would recommend anything off T Nation has some fantastic content in it, but again, it's all going to come down to a person's training age, so basically how long they've been training. Someone who's been training a long time is going to need a very different plan to someone who's starting out. So I mean, my advice would be to speak to a good trainer. He's actually gonna kind of, it's the only kind of industry where you go in and think people can do health and fitness themselves. You pay for your gym membership, you go and you think, oh yeah, I can do this without any kind of prior knowledge.
Yeah. So, in other words, use the advice. I mean, they don't even necessarily, we're not even necessarily talking about paying for a trainer here. Where you could, you know, obviously there's going to be people on hand in a half-decent gym, isn't there, that's going to be able to offer you advice.
Yeah, again, but, you know, you've got to be careful not to just follow someone else's routine. You don't want to go into a gym and find someone who's in decent nick and then kind of follow their routine, because they might have been training for 3 or 4 years, so it's going to be very different to what you need.
Okay, so, all right, so we're recommending that they get some assistance in terms of getting the plan, because obviously a plan that they might pull off the website is not going to be specific to them, and it might not necessarily be appropriate. So there needs to be some help on that front. But what do we want within that plan? Because I think I know what you're going to say in terms of the type of movements they need within that plan. I think probably if we direct people to certain types of movement within a plan, then the more minor details of a plan, i.e. the number of reps, the number of sets, the amount of volume someone's doing is a little bit, like I said, more of a detail rather than the main issue. So what kind of things do we want in the plan?
Yeah, you're looking at kind of just hitting all your big primal movements. So squats, lunges, presses and pulls, pretty much, and variations on those.
Right, okay. So that brings us, you've done a nice little lead on to the next question there. Because another question we've had is, can we explain what compound lifts are?
Hey, you know what? I can.
This is why you're here.
Oh, and I'll do that.
This is why they pay you the big bucks.
I'm throwing it out for free.
Look at this.
So a compound lift basically is anything that's a multi-joint lift, so as opposed to an isolation. So generally anything that uses, like I say, multi-joint. So if you look at doing, say, a push press as opposed to an isolated shoulder press.
So a push press being...
Even with barbells or dumbbells. Or kettlebells, yeah. any kind of resistance. So you're using a full body movement. So you're using the shoulders, the elbows, the hips, the knees and the ankles as well.
And you're pushing the weight above your head, basically.
Indeed, yeah. So it's teaching your body to work as a full unit as well.
Yeah, in other words, so you're moving more than one joint. So, for example, an exercise that is not a compound lift that would just use one joint would be something like a bicep curl.
Yeah, or like a pec deck or a dumbbell fly for the chest, exactly. Something like that, where you're just isolating the one muscle group as opposed to integration.
And only one joint.
It's all about integration.
Exactly, and only one joint is moving in an isolation, whereas a compound lift, you've got more joints.
You get more bang for the buck.
Well, that's what people want.
More bounce to the ounce.
That's what people want.
Who wouldn't?
So okay, you've said something else in there which we've been asked to clarify, which was can we explain which lifts are push, which lifts are pull? I mean, it seems quite straightforward, but some of those can be a bit which ones are which, because we want, when we say push and pull, they're only really the two things you can do with a weight.
Indeed.
It's push it or pull it. And we want a balanced workout. In other words, we don't want too much pushing and not enough pulling.
Yep.
So can you give us some examples of some good standard push and some good pull?
Well, yeah. I mean, the push muscles generally is going to be muscles down the front of your body. So chest, shoulders, the exception being triceps, and then the quads. And then your pulling muscles, your back, your biceps, and then your hamstrings as well.
Right. So yeah, obviously, if you think about it, anything where you're pushing. So what, for example, so bench press, that would be a push, wouldn't it? What else have we got in there? Deadlift. What would you say that was?
See, I'd put a deadlift as a pull category.
Yeah, you see, now this is where there's a slight bit of controversy. I would agree. I would put deadlift as a pull category.
Indeed.
Because you literally are pulling the bar up. I know there's the odd character out there that would label it as a push because you're pushing through with your glutes on that.
Yeah, but I think more because it's posterior chain. Even though, you know, if you do a conventional deadlift, it's exactly the same movement as, say, a back squat or a front squat, but the way the bar's loaded, it hits posterior chain more. Whereas a back squat will hit more quads, so push.
And when James is talking about the posterior chain, it basically means the muscles down the backside of your
body. Yeah, everything you can't see in the mirror.
Why bother working it out then?
Upper back is a new chest.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
That's what we want.
It's word on the street.
Is that the word? Yeah, we do need to work those exercises, those muscles we can't see in the mirror. That's what gives you the width, doesn't it, the back? Ugh,
that's what keeps you alive.
Why would you
keeps
not?
You going.
Why would you not want to work the back? That's the question. If you think about it, you can work it out. So, you know, a press-up's a pushing, obviously, a pushing exercise.
Yeah, you're pushing the world down.
Yeah, push-press, pushing the weight above your head, that's another push. Pull, what's chin-up is a pull.
Pull.
Clues in the name, pull up.
You're pulling yourself up.
There you go. So hopefully we've clarified that in regard to what's a push and pull. So far, in our plan, we want the compound lifts.
Yep.
A variety of push and pull.
Always. Equal.
Equal. We don't want to be lopsided.
No.
So what do you think? All right, I've got a beginner. I've got a lady, for example, who's not got much in the way of gym experience, but she's got pretty decent movement. She's not got any issues. What kind of things do we want to be including in that program? And her goals are to be, obviously, what do they all want? Get fit, tone up.
Oh, the standard.
So we want to lose fat.
You want, I would say, a push movement, a pull movement for the upper body. So whether that's vertical or horizontal, and then you're going to look at some kind of hip hinge movement, and then some kind of unilateral leg movement.
Okay, right. So let's go back. So we want a push and a pull for the upper body. And you said whether that's horizontal or vertical. So in other words, horizontal pull movement.
You could do
bent a push-up. Over row.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, pull, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bent over row.
Something like that.
Dumbbell or barbell.
Yeah. And a push movement would be a press up, a bench press, something like that.
So exactly the opposite movement.
Yeah. And then a vertical would be
an overhead press and then a pull down.
Exactly. So or pull up.
I'll pull up.
Depending on what your capabilities are.
Indeed.
There. Okay, so that's what we want. Like I said, so in other words, if you push in one direction, you need to be pulling in that direction as well, don't you?
Balance it out.
To balance it up. So and then on the lower side, for the lower body, what did you say there?
Kind of hip hinge. So that could be a squat or a deadlift or, like I say, a kettlebell swing.
Yeah.
Anything that's hip dominant, and then a unilateral leg movement. So that would be like a lunge or a split squat or any kind of variation on that.
Right. Okay. And they're gonna cover more space. So they're gonna generally if they're doing it at a suitable weight, suitable intensity for their ability, they're more than likely gonna build muscle there, which is going to in turn help lose fat.
Indeed, and make them healthier, stronger.
Stronger. And be able to work. I mean, if you look about it as well, what people have to look at, don't they, when we talk about what you call these primal movements, you said, didn't you? They're the movements you would use in everyday life.
Indeed.
You know, overhead press, putting something heavy on a shelf.
Yep.
Squatting, you know, when you do that, when you want to lift something.
When you want to sit down.
Exactly. No one wants to not be able to sit on the toilet when they get older. Or more importantly, get up off the toilet.
You don't want to stay there. I'm not Elvis. I don't want to die there.
With a burger in your hand.
Well, I might want to die with a burger in my hand.
And we're going to deal with that later on about burgers and other food. So, obviously we talked previously about the main issue in reducing your fat is your diet. But in terms of on the exercise front, that's what we want to be doing, those kind of lifts, don't we?
Definitely. Just work the main lifts. Don't worry about the faff. Crazy butt lifting exercises and stuff like that get you, you know, that might make your butt cheeks burn, but they're not going to do anything for building muscle.
Yeah, what do you think? Actually, I was going to say, what we see, you know, if you work in a gym or you frequent a gym, you'll see a fair few people doing exercises that, you know, maybe not quite as useful as others, if we're going to put it kindly.
Yeah.
What do you see commonly that you just, you know, What are they doing? It's a waste of time.
It is generally women doing kind of like on all fours, doing like the dirty dogs, where they're lifting the leg up in the air and kind of getting the butt to burn. Now, if I just hold my arms out to the side, my shoulders are going to burn. They're not going to get any bigger from it. I'm not going to stimulate any kind of growth, or my muscles aren't going to adapt to that. It's just going to start burning eventually.
Yeah, so that what you're talking about is this exercise here is where they do like a leg. So they're on all fours.
Yeah.
And they do like a leg extension where they, so they straighten out one leg.
Yeah, kind of push the bum up to the ceiling. Yeah. Now, like say, your glutes are your biggest muscle group, so they should be your strongest muscle group. So they need a lot of load. And they're going to need a lot of weight to stimulate them. So just kind of lifting your leg up and down is not. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's not going to do anything.
Because a lot, I mean, I suppose you just said that.
I appreciate what they're doing.
Yeah.
But it's just misguided.
Yeah, because your glutes, I mean, a lot of people probably, they don't activate, do they really, the glutes?
Lazy asses.
Yeah. It's quite common that. I see that quite common.
Yeah. We're not made to sit down for 12 hours, drive for 4 hours, then go home and sit down and watch EastEnders and eat a microwave meal. We're not made to do that. We're not supposed to do that.
So that's your...
So stop it.
That's your top tip. That's your only one, isn't it? That's the one you need to know. All right. So we've... you also talked... You mentioned something last time. This is a small point. You mentioned about the anabolic window. A lot of people would have heard this. Anabolic, what's that? Anabolic steroids?
No, it's just... It's that belief that people have to drink... 37 grams of protein and 62 grams of simple carbohydrates within 33 seconds of finishing the last rep, you know, before the dumbbells settle down. It's just, like I say, unless you've got your training completely nailed down and the rest of your nutrition nailed down, don't worry about your fucking anabolic window.
Yeah,
worry about getting the rest of your meals out.
In other words, what you're basically talking about is the theory there is that you want to be getting in your protein and your carbs as soon as possible following the exercise in order to, because when you've exercised, that's where your muscles are most likely to, you know, they've been sort of destroyed, if you like, by the exercise, and the more likely to be, they need to be repaired at that point and take up the protein,
like,
and
a
also
nutrient sponge,
yeah, and take up the carbs, which will in turn stimulate insulin, which will in turn stimulate growth, and that's the theory there, isn't it?
So you're not, if your training's been wank,
yeah. So you're basically saying that's you know, don't worry about the small details like
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like garnish. If your meal's shit, it don't matter how good your garnish is. You got a shit meal.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the deal there. So in other words, most people, you know, don't need to be worrying about that. This is the
It's that kind of idea that if you don't get your shake, like say within like 33 minutes, then the whole training program was a waste of time.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, just look after the big things, and the little things will take care of themselves.
Indeed.
Yeah. Very good. Right, so we know about anabolic window then, and to be not too worried about it.
Don't worry about it.
What we've also got here is it's quite obvious how you and I both think on the food front from the last podcast and other podcasts that I've done. We generally advocate, you know, eating your food as naturally as possible, getting a decent balance of essentially protein in the form of meat, fish, chicken. Anything like that.
Stuff that we're supposed to eat.
Yeah, vegetables.
Real food.
A good number and variety of vegetables, and also a decent amount of the appropriate fat. And that, you know, that's probably, I would say personally, in my opinion, that's the optimum way to eat. However, we do have, I get asked this commonly, and I know that colleagues similar to me get asked this, the issue with people being a vegetarian, and we raised it a little bit last time. Now, there's no discussion about whether being a vegetarian is ethical or not. That's someone's personal choice, and if someone wants to not eat animal products because of an ethical or moral issue, then that's obviously entirely up to them. But let's say we've got an individual here who is a vegetarian for those reasons, and they want to. What's the best protein they should be having? How are they? What's the best situation they can make once, you know, now they're in this situation of being a vegetarian?
Well, you tell me. I'm going to throw out to you here. You're the nutrition guy. what do you think?
Well, I know what you'd say. You'd say don't be a vegetarian and eat meat, wouldn't you?
I'd say man up.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, my personal opinion is you do want to be eating animal protein. And the best protein you'll get will be from animal products in terms of you'll get a complete amino acid profile.
Yeah, I think the thing that people don't realize, it's not what you eat, it's what you digest a lot of the time. So if you get 50 grams of protein from a poor protein source, you're not going to digest 50 grams of protein. Yeah, that's not, if your target is, all right, I have to eat 250 grams of protein today, and you've got 50 grams of protein from a Domino's pizza,
yeah,
the odds of you digesting that 50 grams of protein are very low because it's a crap source.
Yeah, so what you're talking about here is something called bioavailability.
Indeed. The old BV.
Yeah, the bioavailability, which is... You can look that up on Google. What essentially that means is how much what you just said there, James, is how much of the protein you can actually utilize. And if you're eating a lot of protein but you can only utilize a small amount of it, then it's a bit useless. But I suppose then what we have to do is we have to make the best of this situation. In therefore, what non-animal sources of protein can we find or non-meat? And so I would probably say, in that situation, I would probably say whey protein, if you're going to have, even though it does come from, it's obviously milk-based. It's obviously,
yeah, so it's not for the vegans.
It's a complete protein. Obviously, you'll see a lot of people a lot of the protein shakes that you'll see people taking is whey protein.
Yeah.
My personal opinion is that's probably a better form of protein if you're going to be doing that. Probably things like Greek yogurt for a bit of if you're okay with dairy. Greek yogurt's got quite a lot of protein. We're not talking about Müller Light or anything like that.
Sugar shit.
No, we don't want any of that. You know, we're talking about natural, 100% natural Greek yogurt, and that will have a decent amount of protein and fat in that. But I don't think you're ever going to get an optimum source of protein from a vegetarian diet. Would be my thoughts.
No, and certainly you're going to struggle even more when you get to the vegans.
Is a tough one. That. What do you think about soy? Any thoughts on that? You often get soy protein, don't you? With some of these shakes and such like.
What do I think of soy?
Yeah. What's your thoughts on that?
I'd rather shit in a tub and eat that.
So, not a fan of soy.
I'm not a fan of that.
No, I'm not a fan of soy. I mean, most of the stuff we see. Some people would say fermented soy is an okay thing to eat. But most of the stuff we see, this highly processed, probably been genetically modified product is no good. Alters your hormones, doesn't it, James?
It'll just ramp up your estrogen, which is not good for males or females. Men, you'll get the titties, and women, it'll increase your chances of storing more body fat, basically. It's not good, and it's unfortunately seen more and more in these kind of meal replacement shakes that are popping up, not wanting to name names.
No.
But yeah, when your main ingredient is soy protein, it's the cheapest, nastiest form of protein that's crap. Again, going back to the bioavailability of it, it's crap sauce. It's cheap. And then they double that up with fructose, which is the worst form of sugar for you for storing fat as well. And then it's classed as your meal replacement.
Yeah.
Fat melting, delicious shake.
AKA absolute garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to be having any of that. I mean, probably the other one I should mention is, which I forgot about there, if you're okay with it, is eggs, top source of protein.
Yeah, again, like I say, it's coming down to whether, you know, what you eat, being a vegetarian or not.
Yeah, if you're okay with that. But eggs are obviously a top-notch, very, very bioavailable eggs are. A real good source. I suppose the problem you've got, without delving too much into the minor details, but... good thing about your eggs is or your animal, you know, maybe if you can
eat the yolks, don't forget to eat the yolks.
Yeah, because you want the complete egg, not just the whites. But you can, you know, if you can bring in some fish, that would be so beneficial. Your likes of salmon and mackerel, which are gonna have your omega-3 fat, which is an essential fat. You know, you need to be having that. You can find that in flaxseed, but it's not in the same form.
Yeah.
And it's not as easily, you don't get the same amounts there in that. So, you know, vegetarian, if you can try and incorporate some products, then we're gonna recommend that, aren't we?
Yes.
It's difficult to do.
I can't imagine a world without meat. I can't do it. That's just me. Maybe one day, like religion.
Maybe
I'll turn.
Yeah, I think it is a tough one. I think it's not optimum, but there are sources out there which are okay. So
you got your stuff like your pea and your hemp protein as well. But I would probably definitely supplement. Like I say, you're going to be struggling to make sure you get enough protein on a vegetarian diet.
I think the problem as well, probably with the vegetarian diet, is some of the sources of protein that you might have, like lentils, they're still quite carb heavy.
Yeah.
So they're not. Predominantly not protein, it's more kind of it's carbs with some protein, isn't it?
And again, it's going back to the quality of the protein of how much you'll digest of it as well.
Yeah. So, but there are ways around it. And so, like I said, eggs, yogurt, whey protein, if you can manage that, will get you by, won't it? To a degree. Okay. What other questions have we got? Oh, I know. We had a question from Big Darren in Pudsey. Big shout out to Daz.
Big Daz.
What was Daz's question, James?
He was just talking about the difference between bodybuilding training and functional training.
So, in other words, he's asking there if what should be what's the best form of training? Is bodybuilding training the best? The sort we see, probably that's the kind of training we see most people doing in the gym.
Yeah,
lifting weights in one way or another, basically trying to be. Develop the aesthetics.
Yeah.
And then we have another, it's quite a buzzword, isn't it? Functional training.
Functional is a very, very buzzword. That's when you get people stood on like a Bosu, holding a dumbbell with their ass cheeks and a kettlebell on their eyelid. With a finger up the nose. Functional.
Is that anabolic?
Quite possibly.
Yeah. So
I would definitely make sure I had. 2 tablespoons of salmon with a scoop of Nutella after that. My anabolic window.
Don't miss it. We as trainers, we there's quite a lot of words we hear, and we hear that. I hear this one. I've heard it ever since I came into the industry. Do you train functionally? What's functional?
Oh, I train functionally. Yeah.
What would you say is functional training? What's your idea of functional training?
I think functional is pretty much anything like going back to the primal patterns. A lunge is functional because it translates into movement. A push press is functional because it's getting your body working as a unit. I would say, if you look at kind of people who do sports, or it just depends on your training. If you want to just look good, then you can get away with just doing bodybuilding stuff. If you want to move well, then you're probably going to look at more kind of functional training. So if you took somebody who does sports, if you took a rugby player and they spent all their time and all they did for legs was leg extensions, and then hamstring curls. Now, when they want their muscles to fire properly, it's not necessarily going to work because the leg extensions isolates the quads, the hamstring curls isolate the hamstrings.
So leg extension, hamstring curls, both machines in the gym where you're effectively extending a leg or you're curling the leg up. That's what you're talking
indeed,
about.
Indeed, in isolation. Whereas if you work a squat, then the leg gets used to, or a lunge, leg gets used to working as a unit, as a functional. It's a functional movement, so it has a lot more kind of athletic crossover, and then kind of crossover into day-to-day life.
Yeah, that's probably the best explanation, isn't it? Is that the movements that you are practicing and training in the gym are movements that you can apply to.
Yeah, you're almost teaching your body how to move properly.
Yeah, because
and get stronger.
Because you're not really there's not much crossover from a leg extension. Basically, in other words, a leg extension. So just. Basically, extending at the extending the leg by straightening out the knee effectively.
Yep. Single joint
doesn't have single joint. It's an isolation movement, and it doesn't have much application in a sport or life situation. Would you say?
No, it's not. It's not a realistic movement. It's not. Whereas, like we said, going back to the compound lifts and stuff like that, it's day to day movements. Where you have to squat, you have to lunge, you have to step on things, you have to pull things, you have to push things.
Yeah. So obviously, I suppose the other thing to say though is, so for most people, this what we might call functional movements or applicable movements to other things is what they should be doing. However, if you've got aspirations as a bodybuilder or you are looking to build muscle and your main goal is aesthetics, then bodybuilding is what you want to be doing.
Well, I think even as a strength athlete, some bodybuilding movement still have to need it. So say if you're someone who's trying to improve the bench press, but your triceps keep on failing, then doing some isolation tricep work is going to help.
Yeah.
You know, you're only as strong as your weakest link. So...
Yeah, so in other words, you might work some tricep extensions or whatever it is, a tricep exercise, as an assistance.
Yeah, as I said last time, as long as you kind of get your meat and your veg done first, then afterwards you can stick those isolation exercises in. Afterwards, I'm not scared of doing a few curls for the girls, tries for the size.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's what you're for most people, they don't need to be worried about those. But if you're effectively sculpting your body, Arnie style. You're gonna have to do those.
Indeed, but then again, you need that solid foundation of size.
Yeah, because we should say probably the compound lifts are probably your best mass builders, aren't they?
Oh yeah, definitely. Because like I say, because you're handling more weight, then you're gonna build more muscle. You're gonna stimulate more muscle. Whereas opposed to if you're going in, you've got no shoulders, but then you're doing 63 sets of lateral raises on a drop set. You're not gonna get big shoulders. Start doing your lateral raises after you've got big shoulders.
Lateral raises basically raising your arms up to the side with some weight, effectively, which are they're an isolation.
Yeah, your isolation
exercise like, for the shoulder, basically.
Yeah,
aren't they?
But like one head of the shoulder, the smallest head.
Yeah.
To try and give yourself some width. So, like, say, hit some big presses, get some big shoulders, then you can start isolating.
Yeah,
but you need some muscle to isolate.
So you got to build first before
yeah,
we start.
Yeah, you got to have something there to isolate.
Before we start polishing the small things. All right, good. So I think we're there on the questions there, James. I think we've sorted out everyone's problems there with that. Ethan, what do you say? What's your favourite exercise?
Squats.
There you go.
Good lad.
Nothing else to say. You going to do some squats now? Good boy. Go on, you do some squats. So, okay, I think we're there then on the question front. So anything you want to add there to James? What should we say to summarise?
Everyone who lifts weights should deadlift, and everyone should lift weights.
That's all you need to know.
Shipping.
Thanks again, big lad.
Absolute pleasure again.
Like I said, his beard's gotten bigger since last time. If the public wants it, we'll keep delivering it.
Let's get back. Then we've got to go fight Ethan, his monkey game.
We've got to go find Ethan's monkey game. You've done well. Okay. Thanks a lot, man.
Love, peace, hair grease.
And that was James Walker there, personal trainer here in Leeds. So all that leaves me to say is thank you very much for listening. If you would like to get in touch, you can, of course, via the website, that's ianshealth.co.uk, or on Twitter, at Ian Entwistle, or Ian's Health on Facebook. If you would like to get notices of future podcasts, then you can subscribe on iTunes. If you'd like to know about blog posts or future podcasts again, you can do that. You can subscribe on the website. That's ianshealth.co.uk. So until the next podcast, well, I think you know what to do. You get lifting.